Making Sense of the Physical Activity Continuum, a conversation with Betsy Banker, Ergotron's Certified Corporate Worksite Wellness Program Manager. Hello, Betsy, and welcome.
Hello.
There's a lot of terms out there for physical activity. Help me out. What is the physical activity continuum?
Well, it's a way of categorizing activities that require different amounts of energy expenditure. So it ranges from, say, being sedentary on the low end to vigorous activity on the high end. And each category is defined by the number of METs that the actions within it require.
Tell me a little more about METs.
It stands for metabolic equivalent. It's a unit of measurement used to describe energy expenditure for an activity. So, for instance, a resting rate is 1 MET, and a fast run might be upwards of 10 METs.
What do we need to understand about the high end of the continuum?
Well, at the high end of the continuum, that's where you've got moderate and vigorous intensity activities. So moderate intensity activities are between roughly 3 to 6 METs. An example of a moderate intensity activity is taking the stairs or maybe walking at a brisk pace. A vigorous activity is 6 METs or more, and that includes things like running or weightlifting. And in general, people are more familiar with those categories, those moderate and vigorous categories, because those are what we refer to as exercise. It's really what's happening below that moderate level that sometimes causes a bit of confusion.
All right. Give me an idea of what below moderate to vigorous physical activity is.
Well, so what's happening below that is really the light intensity physical activity, which maybe is, you know, 1.5 to 3 METs roughly, and then sedentary behavior, which falls below that light intensity activity.
I know from previous conversations, there's such a thing as non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT. Is that what's going on here?
Well, yeah, pretty much. So the continuum of physical activity doesn't just mean exercise activity. So it can actually be broken up into two categories. We're looking at exercise activity and non-exercise activity, like you said. The moderate to vigorous falls into the exercise distinction, and then the light intensity activity falls into the non-exercise physical activity category. What falls outside of those two categories is the sedentary designation. And how the sedentary category gets defined is actually relatively new.
All right. You got any more thoughts on that?
Well, recently, the American Heart Association issued a statement, and they described it this way, and I'm going to quote this. Although at one time, excess sedentary behavior was considered to be at one end of the continuum of physical activity, such that a person with no moderate to vigorous physical activity was considered sedentary, consensus is building that sedentary behavior is distinct from lack of moderate to vigorous physical activity. Even the word sedentary, defined as sitting or remaining in one place, connotes a different set of behaviors than non-moderate to vigorous physical activity. Thus, researchers studying moderate to vigorous physical activity, physical inactivity, and sedentary behavior are now viewing these behaviors as separate entities with their own unique determinants and health consequences. And I know that's kind of a long description, but essentially what the American Heart Association is saying is that you can't exercise yourself out of sedentary behavior. So these are unique distinctions. You can be both highly active and you can still be sedentary, which is why researchers are starting to look at these as unique, independent physical activity functions.
Again, at the lower end of the scale with inactivity versus sedentary, can you break that out a little better for me?
Sure. Here's probably the easiest way to describe it. When you're sedentary, you're also inactive. But when you're inactive, you're not necessarily sedentary. Because as I mentioned before, sedentary really refers to a sitting or lying position. Standing, on the other hand, really can kind of straddle that line between inactivity and activity depending on the manner in which you do it. But standing is never a sedentary activity. So if you think about it in terms of maybe your office behavior, sitting at a desk for hours upon hours during the day, that's a really inactive sedentary activity. And as a result, we're seeing a lot of health issues and back pain being an important one, because this prolonged static posture just isn't good for our bodies. But when we're standing, our bodies are in a different state of readiness. We're on call and we're poised for action. So it's possible to stand completely still in an inactive state, but it's really not very likely. It's a lot harder to stand completely still than it is to sit completely still.
On occasion, I've seen media define sitting and standing as stagnant activities, or that they're the same because they're both inactive. Does that same distinction of what you just described apply?
Yes. Well, that's why it's important to know the distinction between sitting, which is sedentary, and standing, which is actually a light intensity physical activity. Because even though they seem similar, they clearly fall into separate classifications. And like I mentioned before, it's been clearly established that the sitting posture does present risks and should be in a different category than standing. Standing is an innately more movement-prone position.
You mentioned our bodies being poised for action when we're standing. What do you mean by that?
Right. Well, I kind of look at standing as a gateway activity. I think that when you're standing, you're more likely to engage in other movements, whether that's shifting your weight from side to side, or maybe moving your foot up onto a footrest, or in general, just fidgeting around. When I think about my own workday, if I have to print a few things out at the printer, if I were sitting down, I might print all my pages and then make one trip over to the printer to collect them, versus if I'm standing, I'm much more likely to go and collect those papers with every time I push the print button. So, it seems kind of inconsequential, but the reality is that those small movements are a big deal. And not only are we finding that all of this standing can be beneficial to our health, but what we're discovering is that a lot of it is in that transition between sitting and standing, because it activates your muscles and it causes a spike in metabolic activity. So just a couple of seconds of moving can boost your metabolism for the next 20 minutes. We've talked about the health benefits in other podcasts, and it's truly amazing how many benefits the body receives with just a short duration of activity.
What's the right mix of exercise and non-exercise physical activity?
I'm so glad to hear you ask the question like that, because a mix is exactly what we need. According to the World Health Organization, adults should do approximately 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity throughout the week. And then the rest of your time should really be a mix of movement and rest. If you want to think of it in terms of quantity, it's actually non-exercise activities that account for twice as much of the daily energy expenditure as exercise activities. And that right there is really the risk that our tech-enabled world poses, because our bodies depend on that light intensity activity, but more often than not, we're actually replacing it with sitting, because our computers and our technology and our cars and all the things that make it so easy to be sedentary. So at Ergotron, that's why we advocate switching between sitting and standing throughout the day at intervals of 30 minutes. And we've coined that the sit-stand switch. Practicing the sit-stand switch has huge benefits. And if you think about it in terms of your workday, you could potentially replace 4 hours of sitting time with low or light intensity physical activity without even the distraction of leaving your workstation. So really, it's a win-win.
Betsy, as we wrap this up, what are some of your closing thoughts?
Sure. I would say, as maybe a main takeaway, that it's all really about creating a movement mindset. start thinking about your environment and your technology differently, and really look for ways that you can be more active on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis.
And to recap,
well, there's a lot that can be learned about all of these different levels of physical activity, and scientists are still studying it, but it's exciting. And now, you know, we've gotten to the point where we realize that there are these categories of equal importance, ranging from the sedentary behavior that we really should focus on limiting to the light intensity, non-exercise activities that are so crucial for our health and our well-being, along with that moderate to vigorous exercise activities on the high end of the physical activity continuum. And all of these things work together to really improve our health and well-being.
Thank you, Betsy.
You're welcome.
This podcast is part of a continuing series of educational and informative audio recordings created and hosted by Ergotron and Ergotron, Inc.